my ways are right. They're all you need to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon and pay her back. She caused your need, or she made you lack. Accounts, no need at all. If you trust me in this, I'll heal your land as blessings begin to mount. Shut them out. Tear down the walls of Babylon and let her sink. Washing in my word can rid you of the stink. You have bought insurance in the fear of losing it all. Go on and lose it all. Unless you give it,
as a terrible day when those Oklahoma bombs blew the building away. 169 people died while the media lashed out and the government lied. Seems the press and the FBI, they stirred it all up when they blamed it on Iraqis and the brown pickup truck. But before they were through with their agenda that night, they were blaming anybody who might lean to the right. They blamed those far-right, wildlife, anti-federal activists, those mean extreme right-wing domestic terrorists, those hate-filled, ill-willed, demon white supremacists. That's the enemy, but it sounds kind of strange to me. As they whipped up the witch, and for a second John Doe, I heard President Clinton blasting talk radio. Seems he wants me to turn in anybody I meet who might listen to Chuck Carter as they drive down the street. Cause they're a far-right, wild-eyed, anti-federal activist, a genuine borderline neo-Nazi racialist, Mossad jihad, Christian fundamentalist. That's the enemy.
No extreme.
Which means it could be you or me. Now there's so many questions that just won't go away, like why the ATF didn't show for work on that day. When asked by a lady why they didn't show up, they said, if I were you, ma'am, I'd keep my mouth shut. And blame those far-right, wild-eyed, anti-federal activists, those paranoid, Sigmund Freud, schizoid isolationists. We like scapegoats, Christian fundamentalists, they're the enemy. Now if you're still a member of the NRA, then you best be very careful of the words that you say. You still can call your M14 a hunting gun, but don't ever call a federal cop a jackbooted thug. If you're a far-right, wild-eyed, anti-federal activist, a mean extreme right-wing domestic terrorist, a hate-filled, ill-will, demon white supremacist, a Mossad jihad, Christian fundamentalist, a genuine borderline neo-Nazi racialist, a brainwashed, camouflaged, crazy Christian patriot, a paranoid, Sigmund Freud, schizoid isolationist, a homophobe, xenophobe,
the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me.
Thank you.
your fireball. Come on and burn in me.
Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me.
Your words like a fire burning in my soul. Burn up the dross. Bring forth the door.
My heart breaking into depend on you. My arms go on for us to part. So when you go, here comes the blues, there goes my heart. So when you go, here comes the blues, there goes my heart. So when you go, here comes the blues, there goes my heart.
That sound, everybody was going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right, everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds. Getting so much resistance from me. And it's time we stop now, kid. What's that sound? Everybody was going down. What a fuel there for the heat. Now a thousand people in the streets. Singing songs and carrying signs, and mostly see glory for a sight. Biggest time there we stop. Yeah, what's that sound? Everybody look who's going down. Strikes deep into your life will creep. Now it starts anew, there's a free. You step out of line, the man coming, ticky wee wee. It's time we stopped. Yeah, what's that sound? Everybody look who's going down. Say stop. Yeah, what's that sound? Everybody look who's going down. Say stop. Knock. Yeah, what's that sound? Everybody look who's going down. Say stop. Yeah, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Who's going down? Who's going down? Yeah, who's going down? Yeah, who's going down?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 27th day of March, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan. The agenda for today's broadcast is Discipline, a Key for Survival. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cymru Ambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And again, that's pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. On that website, there's a Daily Mail page where we upload interesting information about health, current events, etc. And also on the home page for that website is information about helping us out if you wish to make a donation. There is a contact page, contact us page, I should say, on that website. Also, if you don't have my phone number or my email address, you can use that page to send a note, and I'll be glad to get up with you. To our cousins in the various lands, the French-speaking ones, mes parents français, bienvenue à l'appel. And for those folks that are in the Hispanic areas, mes parientes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. And, of course, our Deutschen friends, zu meinen Deutschen verwandten willkommen, mein Anruf. So, basically, welcoming our various cousins of different lands and different languages to the broadcast or call. The subject of discipline was brought up because mostly of what's going on today. Yahweh is disciplining his sons and daughters. He's using the world to do it. He's using heathens to do it. But it's basically the unrepentant of his race, his 12 tribes, as they are scattered abroad. And the fact that they have not repented, they have not come back to him in a change of heart, which is what repentance means. Repentance means to rethink, okay? Think again. Repent. Okay, thank you, Ella. And you can take a look around. Most of our people have not repented. They still look to man to solve the problems, man-made government, etc. Or they think if they just had more money, etc., it will make them happy. But, you know, especially here in North America, we Americans, we've had it easy for a very long time. We've become soft, and that's why the subject of discipline came up. We've grown very, very soft. We've forgotten the old ways. We have not looked to our Father, the Ancient of Days. We've not looked to each other. We have not looked to our own abilities. We've become dependents, like little children. And we want government to solve our problems. We want man-made institutions to solve our problems. We don't want to get hurt. We don't want to suffer pain. We don't like discipline. And yet, it is the pain that the body sends signals to your brain that get you to do something to fix a problem. Without the pain, you wouldn't know. Without the pain in our societies, you wouldn't know we have a problem. Without the pain of exercise, your body's muscles atrophy, and they become weak, even to the point of disappearing practically. Okay, so again, the world was not created in such a way that you're to be soft and cuddled and protected from birth to death. It's just not the way of the world. And the enemy knows that. The enemy knows that we have become soft and childlike, and they are promising us everything from basic universal basic income to make sure you don't have to worry about a paycheck, offering you medical care so that you can be as slothful in your health habits as possible, and yet they'll come in with a magic pill, a drug, a surgery, a procedure, and make everything okay for you. And we buy it. We give them our obedience. We give them our servitude. We give them our reverence, which should go to our Heavenly Father, our Creator. And we should be about learning what does He want, not what does man require of us. So as we watch this world, topsy-turvy, dystopic world, we should realize that it's our disobedience that's causing the problems. And so we're going to go down through a study here of discipline. And I'm going to give a shout-out here. Very good, Ella. Thank you for that feedback. This is off a website called openbible.info. So I'm going to give them the credit for some of this. Some of these things I've known. They had some in here I did not remember. So give a shout-out. It deserve it. We all work together as a team, okay? Not any one of us can do all things. And so it's very important that we all work together. So I'm going to go down through this list here, and if you have a notepad, whatever, you might want to jot these down or go to the website at some time and look them up. But we'll start here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. We're going to use the English Standard Version because that's what they seem to prefer, so it seems to be accurate enough anyway for what our purposes are here today. Hebrews 12, verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It makes me think back to my childhood. I was blessed to have loving parents. My siblings and I lived in a household where mom and dad did not have much money. We were basically poor, living in a cinder block house on a small 70-acre farm in the hill country of Pennsylvania. But I'll tell you what, it was, by today's standards, it was paradise. Clean, fresh water ran in streams across the property. There were two of them. We had hills, we had woods, fresh air. Spring water was pumped into the house, ice cold, sweet tasting, fresh, clean, Yahweh provided water. Didn't know it when I was a child, but that was Eden, just like the Garden of Eden for us. We had a large garden just outside the house, probably about 60 feet away from the front door. Mom used to wash the clothes by hand in the wringer washer. And we, that was part of our chores, go out and hang it on the clothesline so your clothes were freshly washed and had bright sunshine, fresh air to dry them. You know, again, I thought, wow, this is pretty Spartan living, but it was paradise. There was no air conditioning in the house. You opened up the windows, and yes, during the summer months, there were times it got hot as hell, especially in the upstairs bedrooms. But you know what? We survived it. Didn't even think about it. The automobiles we drove did not have air conditioning. You turned open the vents and turned the vent windows in and blew air on you. That was your air conditioning. And today we act like you can't drive down the road without an AC unit. You just can't survive. We're afraid of sweat. We're afraid of pain. We're afraid of blood. We're afraid of anything that inconveniences us. And yet, it's those very things that toughen you up and make you able to survive. I wouldn't have traded my childhood for anything on this earth. Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge or truth, but he who hates reproof is stupid. So there's people out there today say, you can't call anybody stupid, Dan, or retarded. Yeah, well, they use the word stupid right there in Scripture. Okay? Whoever loves discipline loves the truth or knowledge. How about that? And he who does not like or hates reproof, meaning discipline or being called out for your misbehaving, that person is stupid. Also in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Have we forgotten that verse in this country today? If you spare the rod, you spoil the child. It's as simple as that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Disqualified from what? Disqualified from talking to others or preaching to others, maybe? Disqualified to be an elder in the church? Disqualified to be the husband and head of household? Exactly. How are you going to tell others how to behave if you yourself cannot do so? Reminds me of many years ago when I traveled by car all the way from Michigan to Oklahoma City to see a naturopathic doctor who I thought was a friend of mine. And he had a clinic in Oklahoma City. And I went there to see him, to meet him and his wife. And got to the clinic, and the guy that came to open the door and let me in, I couldn't believe it. Tremendously overweight. Didn't look at all healthy. There were other aspects I won't go into that just sort of shook me to the core. But I'm thinking to myself, when I go to somebody who's going to train me how to take care of myself, I expect them to practice what they preach. My mother used to say that to us as children all the time. Practice what you preach. You cannot be a leader of others if you're not going to follow your own instructions. It just doesn't make sense. Revelation 3, verse 19. "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent." Our Father is going to bring discipline upon His children until they finally get the message and wake the hell up. Which is why we see all the turmoil in the world today. It's easily fixable, folks. That's the amazing thing. Everything that's wrong today is easily fixable. If you repent and come back under His authority and His kingship and turn away from this Babylonian beast system, you keep going to this beast and asking it to behave. That'd be like going up to a wild boar or a tiger or a lion in the jungle and say, "Would you please behave?" It's not in their nature. You're just food to them. And if they're hungry or they're protecting their young, they're going to destroy you. And like a wild beast, this current beast system, which is a world government system, is like a roaring lion and traveling about to see whom it can devour. Right now, it's got a lot of people putting poisons in their body. Poisons. Untested. Unverified. Poisons. All because of the deception from the mainstream media and the medical mafia. They have convinced you to believe a lie. It's unbelievable how many people this has affected. The scripture talks about the weeping and wailing and the gnashing of teeth. Do you see that around you? I don't know about you folks, but I'm going through that almost every day. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. What is gnashing of teeth? It's anxiety. It's fear. It's indecision. It's concern causing you to gnash your teeth, grit your teeth. Whereas those with faith and discipline, it is not so. Proverbs 3, verses 11 through 12. "My son, do not despise Yahweh's discipline, or be weary of his reproof? For our King reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. How many times have we talked about the family upon this earth is a microcosm of the heavenly family with our Father in charge and we his bride. We are both his bride and his children at the same time. So in Proverbs chapter 3 here, we see that he disciplines those he loves, just like I disciplined my children. You see, it's called tough love. It's easy to give in to children, which most parents today do. They give in to them, no matter how insolent they are, no matter arrogant they are, lazy they are, etc. Somehow parents today have believed the lie that it's your job to cater to your children. I told you a few shows ago that I heard a woman recently tell her teenage son that she would sell her soul to make sure he got the things in life he wanted. Can you believe such a thing? I see it every day, by the way these children and these teenagers act, that that's happening more than it should. But can you believe somebody would actually say such a thing? I would sell my soul so that you could have the material things that you desire when he needs a swift kick in the ass and be told to watch his mouth because he's a very arrogant 17-year-old. Arrogant, disrespectful. He knows how to play the part, though, when he wants something. But deep inside, you know, he has no respect for his elders because he considers them soft. It's unbelievable what's going on today. Proverbs 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother, or you could say to his parents. So again, Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof. In other words, it's not just your words. I can't tell you how many times in my life's experience with women who had children of their own, not just mine, but other women I knew that had children by other men, how many times these women, especially when they became single mothers, did not use the rod. They had plenty of reproof, meaning spoken anguish. So they had lots of nasty things to say. My own ex-wives, I used to hear it all the time, especially the first one. She would just raise holy hell with the children when they were disobedient. But she never applied the rod. So right here in Proverbs 29:15, it gives you the formula. The rod and reproof. Not just one or the other, but both. Which, when I'm around the children, they knew I applied both. In fact, there were many times that the rod was what they found to come first, not the spoken word. Often my way of letting them know that the rod was coming was a look I would give them. They used to say it terrified them. When I got upset and angry with their behavior, I had a look. And right behind the look came the belt or a paddle. Discipline. Followed up with possible time spent in their rooms or their toys being thrown into a bunch of bags and taken out to a dumpster, which I've done more than once. They wouldn't clean up their room. I said, that's okay. You guys keep watching your cartoons or coloring in your coloring book. Don't worry about this messy room. I'll take care of it. And then finally, my oldest child said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to take all your toys and put them in this black trash bag here, and I'm going to take them out to the dumpster. Well, you wouldn't do that. I said, oh, watch me. I never saw three children move so fast in all my life. Why? Because they knew that trash bag in my hand was exactly my intention. I was going to take every toy laying on the floor and throw it in a trash can, and they would not get it back. I did the same thing one time when their bedroom was cluttered with stuff laying on the floor. I just started picking it up and putting it back. What to do with that? I said, throw it outside in the dumpster. Well, that's our clothes. I said, yep, and it's laying on the floor. It belongs in a closet or in your drawers, but not on the floor. Not laying across your bed. So I started putting them into trash bags, and the next thing I know, I saw children moving very quickly to get their clothes put away where they belonged. The rod and reproof. Proverbs 29, verse 17. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Now, sometimes when I talk about my children, I often talk about the discipline, but there were many times I was very proud of my children because of the discipline that when we went out to restaurants or we were out in public, I was often complimented on the fact that the children were very well behaved. Much like when I was younger, a child myself, I would hear the elders say, children should be seen and not heard. Today, we treat children as if they're adults. I've seen it happen many, many times. People actually go to their children and have discussions as if they were talking to a fellow adult in the family. They are not adults yet. As my father very pointedly told me when I was younger, and I said to him one time when I got older, I said, why did you not, why weren't we buddies, etc., when I was a child? And he said, it wasn't my job to be your buddy. It was my job to raise you, discipline you, educate you, and keep you alive until you could be 18 or older. He said, then we can become friends and we can have a discussion. Until then, all you need to know is that I'm the boss. And I set the rules, and you obey the rules. And my comment was, fair enough. That makes perfect sense. I can relate to that. Whether I like it or not, I can relate to it. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. How about that? Hey, ladies, are you listening? A lot of you guys, too. You're pretty wimpy today. Right here it says in Proverbs 23, it's okay to discipline a child. He's not going to die. In fact, he's going to learn respect. When I was younger and in some of my relationships, there were times that the children and I were alone. I can remember in one particular case, a young lady I was dating, her child was, I think, 4 or 5 years old. A very spoiled child. So she went to the store real quick, and the child proceeded to dump chocolate milk all over the living room floor. And I got sort of pissed off and made her clean it up. And then she wanted another glass, and I said, no. I said, you were told to drink or eat in the kitchen only. I said, so you're obviously not very disciplined. I said, so you spilt the glass of milk you've got. You're not going to get another one. No. So when the mother came home, she asked what happened. So I told her, and she jumped all over me. I said, why? Well, you're being mean. I said, it's not mean. I'm teaching her to be respectful and to respect authority and also respect the rules of the house. She was told not to walk around with this full glass of chocolate milk and then dump the whole thing on the carpet in the living room. I said, that's ridiculous. That's creating extra work for you and for me at this point, and the fact that she's not obeying you. So I didn't hurt her. So right here in Proverbs, it's telling you, you know, discipline's not going to hurt them. And in fact, it's very beneficial. It was a funny thing after that incident, whenever I was alone with this young child, the child was much better behaved when the mother was not around, when I was with her alone. She was much better behaved. As soon as Mom got home, she turned into the terror. Needless to say, this lady and I didn't stay going out for very much longer. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Amen. I can attest to that for myself, the fact that my parents were very, very strict disciplinarians. And so there was folly in my heart many times. Many times. And they didn't have to get the rod out too often. It didn't take too many times of feeling that rod on my backside that I learned that that folly was not near as much fun as I thought it would be, thinking of the consequences. Titus 1:8. You could start with verse 7, but here they're only giving verse 8. The answer is, but hospitable, a lover of good. This is the attributes of the worthy elder. But hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. These are the attributes of you and I, ladies and gentlemen, because whether we like it or not, we are the lampposts in this dark, dystopic world that we find ourselves in today. We are the lampposts. We are to be the examples. We are to be the leaders. That's why I'm telling you today, it's not only that to be a benefit to everybody else around us, but for you yourself and those of your household, those that you love, you must show them discipline. We need it today. There's things that are going to happen. There's going to be shortages. Okay, you can see it already. The price of gasoline in this area here has gone up over $4 a gallon. Last time I was out, it was like $4.33 a gallon. Can you believe that? Our gasoline. When we are oil independent, we could be oil independent if it weren't for government interference and the stupidity and laziness of we the people. We've got way more oil than we need right here in North America. We don't need to be dependent on foreign oil at all, ever. We have it all right here, and you'd be paying a whole lot less than you are now, probably less than $1 a gallon, if we actually had fair and open markets. It's unbelievable. Proverbs 25, verse 28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. A man without self-control, like a city without walls. What do the walls do? They keep out animals, predators, but they also keep out two-legged predators and animals as well. So a person who does not have self-control, and our enemy knows that we've become weak in this way now today. So we are left without our defenses. Okay? Yahweh teaches us to be self-disciplined. Therefore, the enemy, when he comes in and offers me soft things and lots of money or leisure, or as it says in Revelation, the fruits, the delicacies of Babylon. We are drunk on the delicacies of Babylon. Makes sense, doesn't it? Our people are drunk. Look at them. They look like drug addicts. Well, I gotta have my job, Dan. I gotta have my new car, Dan. I gotta have that motorcycle and that 30-foot boat, Dan. I've got to have the latest electronic gadgets in my house, Dan. I got to have the computer talk to me and tell me what the temperature and time is, because I'm too fucking stupid and lazy to look at a clock or take a look outside. Excuse my language, but it is getting that ridiculous. And sometimes these are people I know. I thought integrity, honest, hardworking, and love Yahweh. And yet, they fall for the trap, the delicacies. We don't need those things. The lovers of the Father should be going in the opposite direction. Minimalists. Get rid of all those excesses. Reprioritize. Repent. Reprioritize what you actually need. And Yahweh's going to make it tough on you. I praise him that he has been getting tough on me for years now. I've often wondered, why all of a sudden did you take away the good-paying job? Why did you get me so focused on organic living and organic farming and take away all the delicacies I used to have? Why did you do that? Well, he's been slowly preparing me for what we're going through right now. I don't need much. I don't want much. I don't desire much. I actually cheered and celebrated the day I told him to take the cable out and shut the television off. That was years and years ago, many years ago. I think back now, all the things I've been able to do and accomplish without wasting my life in front of that electronic toilet called a television. It's amazing when you walk away from the delicacies of Babylon and start doing some introspection as to what do you actually need, not what you want. Many times the things we want are actually harmful to us. But what do you need? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of Yahweh God and his truths, of course. Do not provoke your children to anger. Boy, oh boy, have I seen parents blast that one. Unbelievable. Hebrews chapter 12, 5 and 6. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of Yahweh our King, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens every son whom he receives. If you're not being disciplined, I got to wonder, are you in a very good relationship with the Father? Just curious how your relationship is. He disciplines those he loves, much as we fathers here on this earth. If we truly love our children, we will discipline them. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. No discipline, no life. Who are the ones walking around with all the adverse side effects to these toxins called vaccines, even though they're not vaccines? Okay, these serums, these experimental serums people are putting in their arms, they're walking around, and I've got close friends and family, they have died from this garbage. My question was, why? Now, my cousin, I think they put it into him without his knowledge when he was unconscious in the hospital. And they killed him. But I know others who voluntarily put this garbage in their bodies. Unbelievable. 2 Timothy 1:7, for Yahweh God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Self-control. Hebrews 12, 5-11. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of Yahweh God, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. Yahweh God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children, and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Discipline at this point in our history, ladies and gentlemen, is paramount. Proverbs 20:13, love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will have plenty of bread. Proverbs 19, verse 18, discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. Without your discipline, you don't know what your child's going to get into and who he's going to hurt, including himself. Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Yeah, and falls into the pit, don't they? Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, the godly ones, by the way, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. That's right. All of us leaders will be having to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Proverbs 10, verse 17, whoever heeds instructions is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. Hallelujah. Job 5, 17, behold, blessed is the one whom Yahweh God reproves. Therefore despise not the discipline of the Almighty. And there's a whole bunch more, but I think the point has been made. Discipline. Discipline, folks. A few notes on some of the current events that are going up. Right now, of course, isn't it funny that the mainstream media and these quacks and charlatans are all out here telling us to keep our eyes on the Ukraine as if Russia has invaded? They have not invaded it. They could easily crush the Ukrainian military, easily. They could destroy the whole area if they wanted to. It's obviously not their intention. Again, don't listen to the media and the mouthpieces out there lying to you and the government, etc. Look at the empirical evidence. And for those of us that have had military training, etc., maybe not high-level military as far as strategy and tactics, but just look at the maps of what's going on over there, you can see that this is a very deliberate move, and it's being done to preserve the infrastructure and the people of the Ukraine. It's not to destroy, which is what we do, by the way. We, the NATO nations and the United States in particular, we are destroyers. And by the way, let me remind you, I don't have the scripture in front of me at the moment, but our Heavenly Father teaches that we are responsible for what we allow our so-called public servants to do, and that includes military, police, and government. Okay, what you allow these miscreants and cretins to do in your name, you and I are responsible for. So this idea that, I don't have to pay attention to that. I pay my taxes and I vote every 4 years, so I've done my duty. No, 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 no. You don't get off that easy. That's not the way it works. Every minute of every day, you and I are responsible for what these pieces of shit do in this world. And if I'm using harsh language, I apologize. However, it's necessary because sometimes it takes harsh language to get your attention. Because some of our people are deaf, blind, and dumb. these miscreants are creating havoc in the world. Now, in the Ukraine in particular, why wasn't you and I upset? Why were we not upset in 2014, that's 8 years ago, when elements of this government colluded with elements of NATO and the Zionist communist Israelis to overthrow the legitimately elected leadership in the Ukraine? In 2014, we did that. You did that, ladies and gentlemen, with your tax dollars. You supported that. John McCain was one of the ringleaders of it, and so were the Bidens, okay? And all the rest of the criminals in Washington, D.C., and the Pentagon, okay? We did regime change, and we've done it many times, but this in particular in 2014 was in the Ukraine. You and I supported that because we allowed these monsters in government to get away with it. You and I are being held accountable for that. They are criminals. They have no empathy. They are psychopaths. Do you think the Father's going to hold them accountable? Or you and I? They're doing what they always do. They're criminals. People like Fauci and Burks and Bidens and Pelosi and Schumer and the rest of these Nazis, national Zionists. That's who the true Nazis are, national Zionists, worshippers of Satan himself, followers of the Talmud, not the Bible, the Talmud, okay? So these Israeli backing pieces of garbage, pretending to be Americans, pretending to be legitimate government here, they're not. That the enemies of mankind are using you and I as cannon fodder on battlefields and using you and I and our resources to fund this. Now they've convinced you to allow them to generate whatever they want in computers. Trillions of dollars that exist only as digits in a computer, and yet they're buying up your farmland. They're buying up your real estate. I'm seeing it happen here in South Florida right now. Okay? All of a sudden, farmland and precious preserves and all are disappearing. Why? Because these bankers and their buddies have trillions of digits in computers to buy up real estate and come in and build all kinds of housing for their slaves in the, quote, New World Order. It's happening around us. It's not hard to figure out. And you and I are being held responsible for that because we are to be disciplining our servants. We're not doing it because we're fighting amongst ourselves. They have figured out how to get us distracted with all this media hype on all this nonsensical BS that's going on so that we don't come together. That's why they've allowed the alien to come in and give them citizenship and all that, because we're no longer a homogeneous family upon this land. We are a conglomeration of misfits. Various cultures, languages, religions, etc. The very things that do not make a homogeneous nation. And therefore, divide and conquer works, doesn't it? Part of the discipline today is also talking about the fact that you need to stay fit, ladies and gentlemen. You need to be disciplined about what you put in your holy temple, your body. Whether it comes in through the eyes, what you're watching, through the ears, what you're listening to, or through the mouth, as far as what you eat. You are to guard all three entrances into your temple. Many people today don't even give it a second thought. If it's in the grocery store, they buy it. If it looks pretty or it tastes good, which is often artificial, both of them, they just put it in their body. They open their mouth, they eat it, they swill it down with that formaldehyde beer and contaminated alcohol, and they wonder why they don't feel good. Many people are starting to pick up the idea of being a prepper, which is good. People are starting to talk about communities and getting back to family farms and getting away from this Babylonian existence. Hallelujah. That's where it starts. People have to be discussing what really matters. What really matters is clean water, clean food, clean thoughts, clean associations. And come out of this Babylonian system that you do not partake of her plagues. It doesn't say come out because Babylon's going to crush us. Babylon's not going to crush us. If they wanted to crush you and I, they could have done it already. Yahweh did not give them permission to crush us. Go back and read the story of Job in your scriptures. Satan and his minions do not have the authority to come in and physically crush you and I. They do have the right to poison us if we voluntarily take it. They do have the right to deceive us, which they do. Who makes war by deception? The Israelis, the Mossad. Who owns the pharmaceutical companies that are deceiving, lying, and cheating you, and then eventually killing you, Jews? Who owns most of the major media in this country that's lying and deceiving and cheating you? Jews. Who are the mouthpieces that are pushing for war and all the other draconian things that are happening in Washington, D.C.? Jews or crypto-Jews. Do you see a pattern developing here, ladies and gentlemen? Who was it that convinced the Americans to accept this whole public education system, which is a communist manifesto plank, by the way, state-sponsored education for all? They were Jews. Do you see a pattern developing here? Who came up with the whole 1913 takeover of the Federal Reserve and IRS and Social Security and all the rest of this garbage that we've had? Jews, bankers, misfits, liars, sons of Satan, whatever else that the Bible calls them, devils, vipers. And yet you were asleep. Your watchmen were asleep because you believe the mainstream churches are full of men and women of God. No, they're not. They're whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. You haven't learned that part either. You got to come out of Babylon. You got to come out of the whole Babylonian system. And the mainstream churches, particularly the Protestant and the Roman Catholic, are whitewashed sepulchers, teaching the doctrines of devils. You have to come out of all of it, ladies and gentlemen. Well, again, I want to apologize for the last program that we did because of a glitch in my software. It erased the file. So people have been asking why the archive wasn't there. Again, I am still learning how this all works, and for some reason the main program that I use for playing the music froze up on me, and it ended up erasing the recording. So I apologize for that. Hopefully today that won't happen. I'm trying to be better and more proactive to make this all work better. Any suggestions, good or bad, any feedback is always welcome. For the listeners out there that do stay in touch and keep me informed, I appreciate that so much. These are difficult times for all of us, very difficult times. And I know there's times when we all feel like, why do I bother? They're not listening. Nobody cares. We're not making a dent in this sick, sick world. But I got to tell you, that's not for us to even dwell on. We are told to focus on our Father, our reward which awaits us both here and hereafter. To focus on each other, those that are awake, those that are trying to make a difference, and support them. There are many people actually building communities right now. Self-sufficient, off-the-grid communities. They're building them right now. Did you look for any of them in your area? Have you reached out to any of them for information on how you could duplicate what they're doing? We need to be doing that, ladies and gentlemen. It's been my desire for a very long time. just like us elders need to get together and create an identity Bible. We need to do that. There are no English Bibles that get Genesis chapter 3 right, or the Genesis accounts in chapter 1 of Adam and Eve. Not one single English version has that right. I have not found very many even that get the thou shalt not commit adultery corrected. That's not what it says. Thou shalt not mongrelize. Big difference. Adultery is a made-up word, just like the word Jew did not exist over 200 years ago. The word Jew comes from a Greek word, eudaios. You need to figure out what eudaios means. And the same thing with this, quote, adultery. Well, the modern-day definition of that is not what the word meant in the original scripture at all. It means to not race mix, do not mongrelize. Don't mongrelize your animals, plants, or children. None of it. Yahweh made it for a specific purpose the way it was originally. You're not to play God. It's not our right. We have no authority. We need to step away from Babylon. We need to create a new and better mousetrap. Or as Buckminster Fuller said, we need to create a new model that makes the old model obsolete. Don't worry about what the New World Order is doing. Create a new model. Start with the person you see in the mirror. Create a new model, a new person, a new way of thinking. Repent of your sins. Repent of your transgressions. Repent of your obedience to the monster called the beast, world government. Enemies of all mankind. All centralized corporations, banks, governments, media, they're all communists, they're all Zionists, they're all devil-worshipping liars and deceivers. Come out of it. Come back to the basics. Love each other as a family, and love the Father above all things. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for the new platform, and we ask that you would help Dan to figure it out and make it work properly. We ask that every listener be edified by words of encouragement that come from you, Father Yahweh, your Holy Spirit, and your Scripture. These are dark days as far as ignorance and apathy, but there is light here, Father. It starts with you, and it shines through us when we obey you. Help us to do that. Help us to stand strong with the spirit of courage, understanding, and compassion for the world around us. We look forward to your returning in your Obadiah 18 solution for the wicked of this world, in your Malachi chapter 4 solution for the wicked in this world. And we stand ready as your sons and daughters to do our part when that time comes. Forgive us our sins, walk with us always, Father, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
There's a man who leads a life of bondage to the federal government. He pays his homage. Seems the more he tries to make, the more they tax and take. Odds are he won't live to pay his mortgage. U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen. Well, they've issued you a number for which you've signed your name. Strangled by depression, while FDR was selling out the nation, there was devised an evil scheme. It was a wicked tyrant's dream. Nine numbers now that chain you to their system. U.S. citizen, U.S. You signed your name.
In March of 1933, President FDR declared the bankruptcy of a private corporation known as the Federal U.S. Government. In order to con the American people into paying this fraudulent debt, he set up the Social Security Act. When you sign your Social Security card, you unwittingly become a federal U.S. citizen, pledging your life, liberty, and property as surety for a debt you don't owe. In other words, you become a federal debt slave to your federal master, Uncle Samuel. Now don't despair, there is a sure solution. Sure to start a righteous reformation. You can refuse to play their game. We send the number off your name. Just file the forms and drop out of the system. U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen. Well, they've issued you a number for which you sign your name. Now you don't have to play their game. Don't let the fraud enslave your name. Resend the number off your name.
Slipped this note under your door. nobody's looking. I'm the eye that passes by you when you think nobody's listening. I'm the listener. I'm the resistor. Sign the resistor.
Last night I dreamed you were back again, larger than life again, holding me tight again, placing those same kisses on my brow, sweeter than ever now. Don't I remember how didn't get enough kisses? Didn't know how much you're missing, no, you don't. But I do. These like a slow train trickle by, even the words I write refuse to fly. All I can hear is your song haunting me. I can't get the melody my head to see. Distractions I've been using. Do you know how much you're losing? No, you don't. But I do. Yeah, but I do. I wonder if I'm passing for the rescue. There's no word from you at all. The best that you can do. I never meant to force a shove. You know how much I love you, no you don't, but I do. I swore I'd never fall like this again. Fools like me never win. Came to my knees again. I can't close the door on the likelihood. Think might be just as good. Always believed it would. I gotta let your love invite me. Baby, do you think it might be? No, you don't. But I do. Yeah, but I do. I wonder if I'm passing for the rescue. Is there a word from you at all? The best that you can do. I never meant to push or shove. Do you know how much I love you? No, you don't. But I do. I wonder if I'm passing for the rescue. Is there a word from you and all the best that you can do? I never meant to push or shove. Do you know how much I love you? No, you don't. But I do.
I said, no, you don't, but I do. I still know you don't, but I do.
Suffering here below, and let's keep loving Jesus. Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep following Jesus. The gospel train is coming, and don't you want to go? Sorrow and troubles here below. Oh, can't you hear it, Father? And don't you want to go and leave this world of sorrow and troubles here below? Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep loving Jesus. Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep following Jesus. The gospel train is coming, and don't you want to go? Sorrow and troubles here below. Oh, can't you hear it, Mother? And don't you want to go and leave this world of sorrow and troubles here below? Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep loving Jesus. Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep following Jesus. The gospel train is coming, and don't you want to go? This world of sorrow and troubles here below. Oh, can't you hear it, brother? And don't you want to go and leave this world of sorrow and troubles here below? Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep loving Jesus. Talk about suffering here below, and let's keep following Jesus.
Don't care anymore, there's love in your life. Stab me knife in my heart. Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna run away. Midnight hideaway. Don't you fade away to the morning light. I'm gonna run away. Yeah, yeah, gonna run away. Midnight hideaway. Don't you fade away to the morning light. I'm gonna run away. Midnight hideaway. Don't you fade away to the morning light. You might fade away. You might fade away. She might fade away, she might fade away.